Now, on the Boise Dev Podcast, there's a new leader at the top of the Boise Metro Chamber of Commerce.
I want the Boise Chamber to be an organization that people look to help solve solutions, help advocate, just help being a good partner.
We chat with Bobby Jo Muehlman about her path to the CEO position at the Boise Metro Chamber and more. It's on the Boise Dev Podcast, next. This episode of the Boise Dev Podcast is sponsored by Lombard Conrad Architects. If you're a frequent Boise Dev reader, you've probably seen their credit on renderings on many cool projects. This Idaho-based firm is focused on designing public architecture through a spirit of collaboration. They've been in business for more than 50 years, and you'd recognize their work from the Velma V. Morrison Center for the Performing Arts to the Ada County Courthouse and Meridian City Hall, and that stunning new Center for Visual Arts along Capitol Boulevard at Boise State. That's their work too. Lombard Conrad Architects values partnership and community above all else. They say it's what drives them to fulfill a simple yet significant mission: to enrich and inspire the human spirit through architecture in public spaces. You can learn more at lombardconrad.com. Thanks to Lombard Conrad Architects for their support of Boise Dev.
This is the Boise Dev Podcast. Here's your host, Don Day.
Bobby Jo Muehlman with the Boise Chamber, Boise Metro Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us on the Boise Dev Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
We've been trying to book fun guests this year, and I was excited to have you come and join us. We always like to start with history a little bit. Mm-hmm. Where'd you grow up?
So I was born and raised in Montana.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what part? Big state.
Yeah.
Montana's like three states, I feel like.
Yeah, it is. 56 counties. It's very big.
Yeah.
So I grew up in the southern part of the state called Ennis, which was very small. Our high school, which was 9 through 12, had 120 kids. My mom is from the northern part of the state, which is actually where I was born. But then we moved when I was at a young age to the southern part. A place called Browning,
okay,
which is way north. It's almost to Glacier Park,
yeah,
like right by Glacier Park, almost to Canada. Like that's where we go shopping. And so my mom comes from a family. It was a ranching and farm operation. And so always knew that they would have to eventually move back there. And so it was my sophomore year of high school, my brother's senior year of high school, and things had changed, some stuff with my grandparents' health. And so they were like, you know, we're going to get your brother through his senior year, but then you're going to have to move to a new school your junior year of high school.
Oh, my gosh.
So moved from
like
Ennis.
The worst possible time, right?
Well, I was actually, I mean, I was like, okay, right? Like, I don't know. It was pretty laid back.
Yeah.
And so we moved when I was a junior to a place called Browning, which is actually an Indian reservation.
Yeah.
So moved there when I was a junior in high school and graduated high school there. My folks lived there until a few years ago. Now they live in a different part. But went to college in Missoula. Go Grizz. They're here
for the big sky. Yeah.
Have a long history of Montana roots for sure.
My mom grew up in Columbia Falls, and my grandparents lived in West Glacier, the other side of the park.
Yes.
So
my brother lived in Whitefish for a long time.
Oh, my grandmother was born there.
Yeah.
So all the Montana
look at the
right?
connection.
Yeah, there you go. So you grew up in Montana and big wide open state.
Mm-hmm.
Get into your career and you decide, I think I'll try politics.
Right.
Maybe not that simple. But
right.
Tell us about the kind of start of your career.
Yeah.
How that happened.
So it wasn't planned, right? I guess some people do, but I don't think most people are like, I just want to be in government, right? I want to be in politics, right?
You did get a poli sci degree.
Right? So
a little bit of thought.
And so when I got enrolled at the University of Montana to pick a major, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I always liked my government classes, found them interesting. So I was like, what the heck? I'll get a degree in political science. And it was my junior year at the U of M. I did an internship in Washington, D.C. for a senator from Montana. And I mean, you look at things that are like pivotal points in your life that kind of maybe changed or defined you. And that's definitely one of them.
Was that Senator Burns?
Senator Conrad Burns. Yeah. And so I went back and did that. And I was actually supposed to just be there from January through April because it was just a few month internship. And I actually, my like first month there, their staff assistant, which is the person, you know, answers the phones, you know, is kind of on the first line with all the constituents, had left. And so the chief of staff was like, hey, I know you're only, I just meshed really well with the office. I knew the state really well of, I think, you know, living in one part for so long and then moving to a different part. Like I really knew the state of Montana really well. And so he said, hey, well, you know, can we hire you on and would you stay through the summer? Right. And, you know, 21-year-old, like, just to hit the jackpot, right? So I was like, of course.
Somebody's going to give me money right? every 2 weeks.
I mean, I think it might have been poverty, but still it was making money. So I actually ended up staying. And it's funny because it was the same chief of staff who asked me to stay on. I went to him and I was like, I can just keep doing this. I don't need to go back and finish my last year of college. And he was like, no, you absolutely need to go back and finish your last year of college. And so I went back and finished my last year in Missoula, and then they kept a spot open for me. So I graduated on a Saturday and loaded up the truck with my mom and dad on a Tuesday and moved back to DC. So, and that's where I met my husband, who was working for Larry Craig at the time. And so that's how I have the Idaho connection.
Obviously those senators worked together closely. Yeah, still do, I would imagine.
It was really fun when we were there. Western states, they kind of just bonded together. So hung out a lot with folks from Idaho and Wyoming, Alaska, Oregon. It was just, they all naturally gravitated towards each other, which was really fun.
So you do that, you go back, you spend time in DC, find love.
Yes.
And somehow you make it to the Boise Metro.
Yes.
Tell us how that happened.
So, my husband got got engaged in DC, and he got a job back here in Boise. And so I was like, well, I guess I'm moving to Idaho, right? And people will hear me talk a lot about, like, especially in the political world, in the government world, and in the business world, just in general, a lot has to do with your relationships. And I was then working for a congressman from Montana, Congressman Denny Reberg, and him and Governor Butch Otter were very good friends because they served together. And so I moved out here, right? Not knowing anyone, not really knowing what I was going to do. And he made a call and made a connection for me into Governor Otter's office and was really fortunate to get a job in his office, which then started my kind of Idaho government trajectory, if you call it.
So was that when he was in the House then?
So they were friends when Governor Otter was a congressman. But when I moved out here, he was in his first term of governor. Okay. Yeah, it was 2009.
So you worked for Governor Otter for a number of years.
Yes.
And then you jump over to a state agency.
Correct.
Tell us about that transition and where you went.
Yeah, it was really a cool experience. I always tell people if you're going to work in state government and you want to work at an agency, Department of Commerce or Parks and Rec are probably the two best in my view because you don't regulate, you just promote and support. And that experience at Commerce is something I will just always be so grateful for. I went under with Megan Ronk, who was a really just a great mentor, a great leader. It was perfect for me at the time too, because she had young children. I had young children. So two moms really trying to figure out that balance, you know, when part of your job is you have to go to Taiwan or, you know, you have to be all around the state. And so it was like the perfect job at the perfect time for me, just, you know, in the spot I was with my kids. I just had the best opportunity of, you know, working for Governor Otter. I knew a lot of people, right? I knew a lot about the cool businesses in Idaho, but that job really took it to the next level, right? You know, my job was to travel around and, you know, promote people to come here, but then also support our businesses. And so getting to travel around the state and see all the cool things that are going on here was really awesome. And then a lot of international travel, which is stuff that, you know, I would never have had those experiences. So
what are some highlights? Where are some places you got to go?
So I was at Commerce for 2 years and I went to Taiwan 3 times.
Oh, wow.
There's such a strong partnership between Taiwan and Idaho. It's really amazing to see. One of those trips to Taiwan was Governor Otter. They did a farewell tour for him, his last year of governor. So that was really cool to get to go do that with him. And it was me and the director of Department of Agriculture at the time, Celia Gould. And just to go to see like the appreciation and respect that they had for him and to get to see the emotion inside of him of getting to experience that, that was really cool. I went to Japan, which was neat. You know, Canada a couple times, those sort of things. Mm-hmm. But probably those Taiwan trips were the coolest. The first Taiwan trip that I went on, because I from Montana, right? Like we'd gone to Canada. Like yeah. I had never done any international travel, right? Whereas my husband's the opposite, right? He did so much international travel when he was younger, and just that's just not what my family, we just didn't do that.
Sure.
And so my first trip to Taiwan, I land and we have a trade office there. And the trade manager meets me at the terminal. His name is Eddie. And he was like, we have to go now. And I was like, what is going on? He's like, there is a typhoon hitting. We have to go now. I was like, what? First time ever traveling. Taiwan's very far, right? So I'm like, what is
across
happening?
The date line,
I mean,
the whole
it's
thing.
Like the whole yeah. thing, right? Like your first international big trip like that. And so he gets me to the hotel. He's like, your whole schedule for tomorrow has been canceled. We're like tentative the next day. And I was only there for 3 days. And so I, you know, went to my room and, you know, your jet lag of how you sleep or whatever. And so I got up in the morning sometime and I went and looked outside and it's rainy. And I was like, this is silly, right? I was like, I'm at least going to like go get my tennis shoes on and my rain jacket and at least go walk around. And in the time it like took me to do all of that, I go to leave. And at this time they've got like the doors boarded and trees are just like, the wind's blowing so bad. They're just like hitting the ground. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to stay here. So my first Taiwan trip was in a hotel for 2 days as this, and it was a deadly storm. Like people died. I mean, it was crazy. So I'll never forget that trip either. As I flew in, as the Taiwan was hitting, I'm like, why did the plane even take off from, I think I left out of Seattle maybe.
Yeah. And then you get there and people say, I go to the hotel and hunker down. You literally hunkered down.
Did. I know. And then I like felt so bad because I'm like, here I am like hunkered down in this hotel and all these people that are, I mean, just working and it made me feel really bad.
Yeah, I bet. So you spend a couple years in commerce, mm-hmm. and then there's a transition in administrations, and I think fairly friendly transition.
Yes.
But you leave commerce and decide it's time to do something new again.
Yes.
But in the same realm. What happened
right.
there?
Yeah, so I have worked with Governor Little ever since I moved to Idaho. Worked very closely with him in Governor Otter's office. They had such a great, strong partnership. And then at Commerce, worked really close with him as he was kind of the lead on economic development for Governor Otter. So when he won governor, I had every intention of like, well, try to see if I can get Commerce again because I was enjoying it. And he reached out and asked me to come back into his personal office and kind of lead an effort that I don't think a governor had had until since maybe Governor Kemp Thorne. And that was an intergovernmental affairs position. And so I chose to do it, go back in his office, which I'm really glad I did. Getting to be there at the start of a new administration is really fun. It's really exciting. It was something really cool to be part of, and I will always cherish that time. Went into his office and led his intergovernmental affairs. So, you know, working closely with your legislative partners, your mayors, your county commissioners, tribal partners, federal delegation. And then he had me do the business issues for the office because it made sense that I had just left commerce. And then did that and then got promoted to be his deputy chief of staff and took on some more issues as well. When I left, I was doing transportation and tax commission as well. So really great experience working with him. You know, Governor Little has always had such an aggressive legislative agenda. So got to be part of some really cool efforts in his office that it was just fun to be part of that.
So intergovernmental affairs kind of leads you to the current job. Long process, 3-month process, mm-hmm. for the Boise Metro Chamber gig.
Yes.
Competitive, I understand.
Yes.
I know a bunch of people who were up for it.
Yeah.
So lots of impressive folks. What made you decide, hey, I'm going to leave government. I'm going to try and work in sort of an advocacy role?
So it was interesting as I think things just sometimes happen. You're not planning for them. And I had some folks approach me about the job. And, you know, you don't really think about it much,
sure.
right? And then conversations kept happening. It was really my husband who was like, you know, you really should probably like look into this,
our
right?
Spouse is great.
Right. They are. They just give you a different perspective because you're so in the moment. Everything's working. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And so it was really him. And so I did explore it. And I think what really made me interested about it was all the different components of the chamber job, or all things I've gotten to do throughout my career that I've really enjoyed. You know, the community engagement has something I've always enjoyed. Working with the business sector, I've enjoyed that. Obviously, the advocacy component of it, that's what I know. It's, you know, what I've done. And then, you know, looking at the board, like the chamber board is such a great group of people. And so I really think it was all those different components together. And, you know, sometimes you do have to, you know, it's great we do have spouses to take a minute and be like, well, wow, I guess I have been doing, you know, it's been 20 years, if you count 6 years in DC and, yeah, and 14 in Idaho. And you're like, first of all, I didn't realize I'm that old. Right. Like, how did that happen?
I know, right?
And so sometimes you do, you're like, you know what, maybe it is always good to continue to like push yourself and maybe try something that makes you uncomfortable. So that was, it was really my husband that pushed me to look into it.
Okay. Bobby Joe Muehlman with the Boise Metro Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
Let's talk about what's next.
Okay.
It's our event today. You've been in the job at the chamber for 7 or 8 months?
It'll not even 6.
Okay. You got the job about the time my son was born. So okay. similar timing.
Yeah.
And it's been a long 6 months for me. I bet for you.
Well, I hope he's doing well.
He's doing great.
Yes.
So tell us about what the early days have been like and what some of your priorities have been.
So early days, one thing that was really cool about the interview process is the interview committee asked for a work plan. Hmm. Which is something I wish I would have always done, right? And so I really, they had me break it out into like first 90 days, you know, first 6 months, year, like that, right?
Sure.
And so I've really tried to follow that, which again has been cool to have that. But for me, when I first started was you got to get to know the team, right? You know, this is a team that has been together for a long time under the same leader, right? So
how many folks are over there?
25 total.
Wow.
But
does that include
BVEP
and
Visit Boise?
But still a pretty...
It's a good size, yeah. And so for me, it was really important to take the time to get to know the team. I, you know, when I, my first day, I got all of them together and was basically like, you know, I'm going to be doing one-on-ones with all of you. And this right now is just to kind of let you know I'm not a psycho, right?
Like,
I'm in my view,
they're like,
I'm pretty...
I'll be the judge of that.
They're all probably like, sure. But I did. I met individually with every single staff member and asked them all 3 questions, you know, amongst other things. But what do you like about here? What would you change? What are some recommendations? So took the time to do that. And I did the same with my board. I went and sat down individually with every one of my board members and asked them each 3 questions, kind of similar questions. So that really consumed my time, right, is the first couple months. Also learning our leadership programs, right? That's been a big thing for me is, you know, I, you know, most all the other stuff the chamber does, right, I've been pretty engaged in it. I know what it is. I'm pretty familiar with it, but I hadn't with our leadership programs. So I've been spending a lot of time trying to better understand Leadership Boise, Boise Young Professional, the alumni, all of those groups. So that has really kind of, you know, taken up a lot of the time as I first started. For me, obviously, everyone's like, you know, what's your goal for this first year?
Are you looking at my notes?
No.
Yeah.
I figured you would.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's, you know, obviously, if in 1 year, if we've, you know, the team hit 2,000 members, which was a really big accomplishment. And so for me, achievement is maintaining and growing that membership, right? And so really trying to define for me in this first year is, so when we bring in new members, right, like we're really good about when you get a new member, they get attention. There's a pretty good plan with that. But, you know, most of our members are existing members. Mm-hmm. And I really truly believe the best way to grow your membership is to retain your existing membership.
Keep that churn low.
Right. And it's, you know, if you, your biggest selling point to a business to join is them seeing who's already a member. And so really trying to kind of look at from that perspective, okay, what are we doing on the retention side, right? Like knowing we have to continue to bring in new members, but you know, that turn rate, right? Like even if you can keep like 20 of them or whatever. And so that's been a big thing for me is working with the team of some ideas of, you know, how we ensure, you know, we're providing value. And you know, we have really big businesses, we have medium-sized businesses, but most of our businesses are small, right? And so really going to try to deep dive on how you provide that value to them.
So you talk about kind of some tactical goals. Mm-hmm. What's your overall vision for the chamber? Where do you see it in a longer term time, and, yeah. and where do you want it to go?
I want the Boise Chamber to be considered a good partner, mm-hmm. right? I want the Boise Chamber to be an organization that people look to help solve solutions, help advocate, just help being a good partner. I think we have the privilege at the chamber of we represent over 2,000 businesses right now, right? And we all know that things are really great in this community, but we all know that we have to make sure we're making the right investments and planning for the future to ensure we stay that way, right? And those are things where I think the chamber can be such a resource, being part of those efforts, being part of the vision of keeping this place how we want to keep it.
So when you look at that, you've been there, obviously there'd been a leader in place for a long time, you're mm-hmm. new in the role. Do you see changes in structure or form or outreach?
Yeah.
Are you going to put your stamp on things? Makes it sound like things are not working well, but how yeah. do you see things evolving as you really dig in?
And I think that is one thing, you know, I took over a thriving chamber, right? Bill did a great job. I'm in such a great spot because I took over a chamber that's doing good, right? And so it's an opportunity to look at things and say, well, if it's not broke, let's not fix it. But where are areas that we could change? Are there things we should be doing different, right? And I just think too, you know, we all have our different management styles, sure. right? Like I think I'm very much, you know, more engaged in the weeds. Part of that is because I'm trying to learn, right? Yeah. But I think too, finding more of those opportunities where those natural partnerships make sense, right? And so, you know, working more with our Treasure Valley chambers, that's a big goal for me, which is going great. Meridian, Nampa, Caldwell, they all have great people and we work well together.
So we should maybe explain that a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's the Boise Metro Chamber. Boise doesn't really have its own chamber that I'm aware of, but a lot of the individual cities do.
They do.
But mm-hmm. the Boise Metro Chamber is larger.
Basically, you know, our footprint is Caldwell to, or I get Mount Hope to Caldwell.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Treasure Valley.
Treasure Valley. Yeah, for sure. And so, yeah, a lot of, they have their own, right? And so a lot of times there's crossover with membership. Mm-hmm. But, you know, basically all advocating for the same things, right? And so I think, you know, we're stronger when we're together. And so I think with me, you're going to just see a lot more of those partnerships. Hopefully you're going to see the chamber at a lot more engaged in some of these discussions, right? And, you know, one thing is it's looking at, you know, we do a lot of events at the chamber, right? So are there areas where maybe we could change up some of those things? Or again, if it's not broken, why, you know, we don't need to fix it.
Right.
One thing too, that's a big thing for me is when we do things, you're going to see this at our leadership conference this year. So our leadership conference this year, the topic is energy. I want to focus on what our members are doing in that space. Same with like the gala, right? Like how can we have that balance of bringing in a speaker, but also highlighting the great things that members are this area is doing. So that's one thing that I really want to focus on is, you know, how can we highlight our existing members more, right? When we're having these kind of platforms.
So I was going to talk about the leadership conference a little bit later. you know, we've attended the last few years. It's mm-hmm. always a newsy event. There's always interesting things going on. This year's theme, energy. What will those should explain to for people? This is political leaders and business leaders, and they yeah. all get together now each year in Sun Valley mm-hmm. For a couple days to kind of talk about issues. You talk about change. What do you hope the takeaways from that will be?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because me and my board chair have talked a lot about the leadership conference, and I think our goal for this year is it's such a, you know, energy is a big topic, right? It's things are ever changing, right? And we're hopeful that people go away and say, there's a lot of cool things happening here in Idaho. Mm-hmm. And they come away with maybe some ideas and good partnerships, right? If it's, well, these municipalities are doing this in grid resiliency, or there's this technology, or there's these things, right? So they come away with an idea, right? Or they come away with some natural partnerships. Also, too, for me, anyone that knows me, I want to make it fun, right? It's so much about what we do is networking. It's bringing people together, which form those natural partnerships. So I want to make it fun, right? And so we're doing a couple things different this year to try to add a little bit more networking, a little more kind of fun to it. So excited to see how that goes, as this is my first one.
Yeah. So let's talk about the business landscape in general. In the Boise Valley, people always like to say it's really strong, and it is historically. Doesn't mean it always is.
Yeah,
we're in an interesting time. We're now 4 years out from kind of the start of the COVID pandemic, and a lot of recovery has happened. But there's definitely kind of a change in the atmosphere. How does the chamber adapt when the needs of the business community adjust and change?
That's a really great question, and I think it sparks when people asked me, kind of taking on this job, what is your number one fear? And I think it's that and the uncertainty of the economy. You know, you put those two things together, and, you know, a lot of times, you know, for a member-based organization, those things have a really big impact. And, you know, I think you're seeing it right now, whereas we're growing and we're thriving. Our every year we do a legislative forum lunch, and this year we did the economy. We had a title of the economy, and we had a couple of legislators, but then we had chamber members. We had one representing the tourism industry, one representing construction, and one representing finance. And I think uncertain is the only way you can say it, because you have, you know, the construction company, right? They sell equipment, so they know real time where projects are going to be. It's growing. I mean, anyone can see, sure, right? Like, yeah, there's construction screaming here, right? Yeah. Everywhere. You know, from a tourism perspective, we still have people, like, it's been discovered, right? This region too brings in so much for tourism. I don't think people actually understand the impact it has. You know, again, right now,
listen to our last episode of the podcast with Carrie.
Yes. And so, but then from the financial sector, right, interest rates are high. Mm-hmm. You know, people's tendencies seem to be, they're not buying, you know, people are just more cautious, right? And so it is interesting for me in this job to see the different perspectives of the economy. Everyone is there going to be a recession? Is there not going to be a recession? And so I think for a business organization, it goes back to, right, when, you know, and businesses are going to go through ebbs and flows at different times, right? And so ensuring we're providing that value, right? So, you know, we can help them and they stick with us. And so that is, I would say from my perspective, that is the number one thing I do worry about, is ensuring we're doing a good job on that.
I mean, there's been this kind of worry about a recession, not just nationally, but locally for the last really 2 years.
Yeah.
Hasn't really materialized.
Right.
And it often seems like, I used to work at a local media organization here in town, and my boss there would always say, yeah, we're usually about 18 months late to it and about 18 months late coming out.
Yeah.
And it tends to bear out. No recession yet.
I know.
But everybody's kind of, you know, you've seen people act like, oh, maybe we're going to have one. Investment's a little funny. You're seeing really interesting dynamics in the growth and construction. Mm-hmm. People who are like, oh, I got this project, we're going to wait.
Yeah.
And you don't know when that's going
to
happen.
So many, they're like, yeah, we're moving, but we've delayed it 6 months to see if things go down or just right. Or to get the supplies or there's a lot of those external factors right now that play into things.
So the chamber is just trying to be agile to that and adapt in real time to something that is hard to predict.
Yep.
So you talk about tourism a bit, and we did talk about that at great length on the last episode for people listening, but how do you see that being a focus? Is that a major driver going forward, or just one component?
I think tourism is a major driver, especially for this metro. Mm-hmm. You know, the amount of, and it's not just people coming, right, to visit, right? I think it's the impact this area gets from conferences, from sporting events, from things like that. There's a big impact, right? And, you know, I think that's why we need to do, you know, Carrie may have talked about this, but, you know, Boise's in such a good spot right now because people aren't wanting to go to Portland and Seattle and San Francisco.
Sure.
And some of the places they traditionally would have gone to, because, you know, they want to go somewhere where people feel safe. The streets are clean, right? So we have such an opportunity, and you see it, right, with the Boise Center, I think, is at capacity all the time, right? Yeah. You know, I mean, they would love nothing more than probably some sort of new event space. So I think tourism is, I'm a big component of it. That is something, you know, you're seeing it at the Big Sky Conference right now. The Boise Chamber is a big partner with Visit Boise this year at the Big Sky Conference. That's a great event. It brings in a lot of good things for this community, and we don't want to lose that, right? And so you're going to see the Chamber be a partner in these events and these areas to ensure we keep them, right? And it is just such a draw for all of our hotels, you know, our restaurants, you name it. It really means a lot to this economy.
On the flip side, you kind of have the sort of political landscape.
Yeah.
The NCAA tournament, speaking of basketball,
yeah,
hasn't been here for a while. There's some uncertainty if it will come back. And part of that is because of some of the politics, and without getting too deeply into that. It does play a role in some of this. How do you balance that out when people are like, Idaho's politics, I don't know.
Yeah.
Good or bad, how do you say, oh, here are some positive things, or how do you work through that?
I think it's about telling the story and selling this area, right? And, you know, I think that's what the state's good at in general, right? You know, when it comes to some of these big events, we're always going to be at a disadvantage because we don't operate where we have large sums of money that we can just throw at things, right? And so then, yeah, you sometimes take on, you know, there could be the political areas or things that might add extra.
And all states are facing
and
this,
they are.
Right?
And in this issue in particular, I know it's a big one throughout the country, but I think then that's an opportunity for us to really sell this area and what we can offer, right? And I do think when people come here and they see, you know, every economic development specialist is going to sell quality of life, right? It's just like, it's a natural, but when they actually come here and see it, I think people truly are like, wow, you know, this is pretty amazing what they have here.
Let's talk about business attraction and bringing new businesses here. There's obviously been some wins in this space, Micron's expansion, the Meta Data Center, and then lots of smaller wins. Obviously a big focus for lots of people across the area, but important at the Chamber. Explain to us how and what you're doing to help bring additional jobs to the area.
Yeah. And so as we kind of talked about, the Chamber is really unique because we have Visit Boise under us, which is a tourism arm. And then we also have BVEP, Boise Valley Economic Partnership, which is under us. And so Clark has a great team, right? And, you know, I think you've seen, right, obviously with Meta and with Micron, some big ones. And like you said, some other smaller ones too, which are just as important, right? Any new business here is a huge win for the state. And what's interesting about it too is Clark's team, right? They go out, as you talk about. So they go out and they're working with the economic development professionals of Caldwell and Nampa and Meridian and CUNA and Mount Home, right? And really helping them as we get these leads and trying to find, you know, what makes sense for a business based on their needs. I think, again, you're going to see the Chamber be a good partner in this area, right? And I think it's, as you look at some of these things, right, it's what's kind of one of the cool things I think about the Micron project is that, okay, now what a great opportunity. And I'd already said this when I was, had said this when I was at Commerce, is look at what you have and then what can you attract that's a supply chain that then adds value here, but makes streamlines their products too. And so I think with that, you're going to see a lot of folks that maybe with the supply chain, right? But I think too, that's, again, getting back to the business sector and our members, you know, what do they need, right? Mm-hmm. Like what strategically are there things that we should be going after, right? And then too, I think when it comes to the Chamber's involvement, it is as every business, be it existing or new, they have things they need, right? And a lot of times it's, you know, it's education. Well, we can be an advocate in trying to help boost up our education and support education efforts. You know, I think there's a huge role right now for the Chamber when it comes to business in general. As we're growing, you have to start talking about housing, right? People have to have a place to live. Public transportation is becoming a reality. Is, you know, we're sprawl, right? Things are getting pushed out so much further, right? And so being engaged in those efforts to really hear from the business community, okay, what do you need and how can we be part of the effort to help get you that?
On the flip side of that, you've got obviously some chop in the water with Albertsons and Kroger.
Yeah.
Kroger's been absolutely silent on what might happen with Albertsons and Boise. Mm-hmm. The Cincinnati Chamber, where Kroger is based, they ran an op-ed about 6 weeks ago, like, we have to have this merger to keep Cincinnati healthy. And it's like, oh, it's great for Cincinnati, mm-hmm. but what happens in the flip?
Yeah.
I know you don't want to probably talk individually about one business, mm-hmm. but how do you help to sort of guard against those things? Or, you know, if that merger goes through and there's changes in jobs, does the chamber play a part in figuring out how to reskill those people or find mm-hmm. new gigs? Or is there a piece to business attraction that's sort of business retainment?
Yeah.
It's not a word, but.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. And I think, you know, Albertsons is just such a great business, such a great community partner. And so I think everyone is hoping, right, that, you know, whatever happens with this merger, it's good for Idaho, right? And thinking positive on that side. And, you know, what can we do to help support that? I do think, though, right, as, you know, there is going to be business will come and go, right?
Yeah.
And so, again, absolutely, that is, you know, connecting the business sector to potential helping in those efforts of, you know, reskilling, but also making those connections of, you know, if you have a business that may be leaving or changing, that's a whole work, mm-hmm. it's a whole talent pool.
Maybe there's gigs at Dairy Gold, which
right,
is opening 100%.
Here. And
yeah.
So that's been one thing. And I've actually had board members who have brought that up to me, which they're, you know, can the chamber be more active in helping when it comes to like internships and things like that? And so I really think there's a big opportunity for us to get more engaged when it comes to those sort of things.
Okay, so we're talking about what's next. So
yeah.
We'll end on this.
Okay.
We get 5 years down the road. It's 2029. We're about to start a new decade.
Okay.
You've been in this role for 5 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What does that look like? What do you look back and say, I really am proud of what we did in that first 5 years?
Yeah, I think for me is if I can point to, again, we've grown our membership, we've maintained our membership, but also too, if I can point to like, you know, an effort or a partnership that we were at the table with and, you know, it led to good things, right? Like those sort of things, right? Mm-hmm. That like we were part of that, right? If it's helping on housing, if it's helping on transportation, if it's an education initiative, right? If it's, you name it, right? I think for me, it's how I'm structured. If I leave in 5 years, I'm glad you have that much confidence.
I'm not
in
saying
me.
You're leaving. Maybe you'll be around forever.
No, no. But being a good partner, right? Like they were a really good partner and a great resource for our members.
So more housing, smarter workers, better transportation. I'm going to hold you to that.
Yeah, that's.
I'll still be here. So I'll write a story.
That's
in 5 years
there. That's a small, right? That's not a small feat.
No,
right? That's
easy.
Yeah.
It's all solvable.
I think the great thing about all of those, though, is in the business community, everyone would agree that those are things we have to continue making investments in and work together on. So.
Yeah. The general citizenry too.
100%.
Bobby Joe Muehlman with the Boise Metro Chamber of Commerce. Thanks for taking the time today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.